Continuing here in the book of Genesis now, the last part of Genesis 27, verses 30 through 46, these last 17 verses here. Again, Genesis 27, start at verse 30, and we will end at the end of the chapter. Hear now the word of God. Now it came about as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had hardly gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. Then he also made savory food and brought it to his father, and he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me." Isaac his father said to him, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am your son, your firstborn, Esau." Then Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was he then that hunted game and brought it to me so that I ate all of it before you came and blessed him?" "Yes, and he shall be blessed." When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." And he said, "Your brother came deceitfully and has taken away your blessing." Then he said, Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing." And he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" But Isaac replied to Esau, "Behold, I have made him your master and all his relatives. I have given to him as servants, and with him grain and new wine. I have sustained him. Now as for you, then, what can I do, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Do you have only one blessing, my father?" "Bless me, even me also, my father." So Esau lifted his voice and wept. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, "Behold, away from the fertility of the earth shall be your dwelling, and away from the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and your brother you shall serve. But it shall come about, when you become restless, that you will break his yoke from your neck." So Esau bore a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father will near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." Now when the words of her elder son Esau were reported to Rebekah, she sent and called her younger son Jacob and said to him, "Behold, your brother Esau is consoling himself concerning you by planning to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice now and arise. Flee to Haran, to my brother Laban. Stay with him a few days until your brother's fury subsides, until your brother's anger against you subsides, and he forgets what you did to him. Then I will send and get you from there. Why should I be bereaved of you both in one day?" Rebekah said to Isaac, "I am tired of living because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife from the daughters of Heth like these, from the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me?" Thus far the reading of God's word. Let us pray. Lord God, help us to know your ways. Teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation. For you we wait all day long. Through Christ our Lord, who gives us instruction. Amen. Well, congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we began this passage last Sunday. This is part two. We saw there a battle within a family has continued. I think this was day one of this battle. In fact, several weeks ago, we noticed the prenatal battle between the aggressor Esau and the younger Jacob. That battle continues in that day and today in this passage. As we see a house divided because of these two boys. Yet, we have to remember one one key biblical point, and that is when God, he's involved, but when he decides to redeem one son and not the other, these words tend to ring true. The words of Jesus in Luke. He says, if anyone comes to me, think of Jacob, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters. Yes, and then here comes the key part for that particular verse. Yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. The next verse is important. Jesus then goes on to say, whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So the disciple of Christ, the believer, Jacob, the Christian, must be willing to leave parentage, to leave siblings, to leave his own life behind, martyrdom. That's what it means to take up your cross, to suffer, even to death. And be a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus. Where do you think we're following him to? This is exactly what we find at the end of our passage with Jacob. He leaves everything behind. Father, mother, brother. And what we see in all of chapter 27 is actually a type of Christ, a shadow, a picture of what Jesus, the Son of God, the Blessed One, will do for his people. We're going there, but first let's recognize this theme as we then rake it through this passage. Moses reveals Esau's nature when he does not receive the blessing. He hates God and his brother. He's not obeying the law of God. He hates God. He hates his brother, which forces Jacob to flee for his life. Jacob leaves. He leaves peacefully in a way. But let's break this down with the narrative. First, considering verses 30 through 40, Esau finds out about what Jacob has done. All right, so that's the first 11 verses there, 30 through 40. Remember, God has used Isaac's stomach. We saw this last week. He's used Isaac's stomach to prolong, to get Esau out of the way. Remember that? So instead of just going ahead and blessing Esau, he said, I want you to go hunt some food, get Esau out of the way, so that the rightful son can come in and get the blessing. So get the wrong out, get the right in. That's what we've seen here. We also recognized last week that this blessing belonged to Jacob by right of birth now. You don't separate the two. He's got the birthright, he also gets the blessing. So this was Jacob's in the first place. The real thief was not Jacob, but Esau. So we saw that last week. And now we return back to this, and we have the continued questions. These questions are now addressed to Esau. In verse 30, it shows us the continuing, directing providential hand of our God. And brothers and sisters, it is amazing. Look at verse 30. Jacob has left the tent. His foot is stepping out of his father's tent as Esau's foot is stepping into the camp. Perfect timing. It's not coincidence. No such thing. This is providence. Beautiful timing. Esau is bringing the food while Jacob is settling down elsewhere. They're completely missing each other. And God is great with how he has wisely planned the exact steps of men. The very footprint of a man was designed by God. And so then in verse 31, we find Esau doing exactly what his father had asked him to do. He prepares the meal for his father. He enters the tent with food and he asks for the blessing. Then comes the questions continue. Verse 32, "Who are you?" They answer, "I am your son, your firstborn, Esau." This is a scary moment. A scary moment in the story. First, realize that there's some light in the midst of this dark, scary moment. But first of all, notice Isaac is now confused as to who is standing before him. Remember, he's blind. So he's confused as to who is now bringing in this great smelling food. Sounds like Esau. Esau is clear. You know, he knows who he is, but there's one mistake here. Chronology, he's the firstborn, but by right, he's no longer the firstborn. He gave that up. Jacob is. He sold his birthright. He sold his position for some food. So he's no longer legitimately called the firstborn. That's a problem. That's Jacob. And so from this moment on, we've got to remember when he sold that birthright, he stepped away from his family as the eldest son. That's Jacob's responsibility now. Yet, notice how Isaac responds here. Look at that. Verse 33, Isaac trembled violently. Said, "Who was he then that hunted game and brought it to me so that I ate of all of it before you came and blessed him?" Here comes the key part there. If you're going to underline any part of that verse, this last one is that part to underline. "Yes, and he shall be blessed." That's huge. That's huge. Isaac is first afraid. He's trembling. He's terrified. Because he has no idea what has happened now. But there is, again, an affirmation, and that affirmation is that last part. "Yes, and he shall be blessed." For only one of these brothers will receive the blessing from God. The salvific blessing of God. Salvation will only come through one of these boys. That's the blessing we're talking about here. Not you're going to have goats and sheep and herds. No. The blessing of the son, the seed of the woman. And we see here in that moment, but right now, we gotta pay attention and pay real attention to what we're reading here by faith and what we're seeing here. Isaac has done something. Isaac was fooled, but God wasn't. Realize this. Isaac was fooled by Jacob. God never was fooled. He has said this would be Jacob's. Isaac ignored it. Esau tried to steal it. Jacob's got it by God's design. This is why the author of Hebrews points out in a couple of places, Hebrews 11:20, that by faith Isaac blessed Jacob. Interesting there, it also says, and Esau. Esau does get something. But he blesses them according to regarding the things that are to come. And then you flip to the next chapter in chapter 12. The author of Hebrews talks about Esau. We've already dealt with that passage where he's weeping and gnashing his teeth. He's bitter and he's crying. "Can't you give me a blessing too? Didn't you leave more?" We're about to see that in verses 30 through 40. "Bless me too." So first of all, in 34 through 40, in verse 34, we find Esau begging, pleading, again, Hebrews 12, begging, pleading for this blessing. He's doing this apart from repentance, which is fundamental to faith. And he understands what has happened. He does not want to be left out of his father's blessing, his father's will. He doesn't want to be left out. Esau had up to this point despised everything of his father, despised everything of the faith. But now that he can get something from his father, "I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of this. Please, I'm begging, I'm pleading. Give me, Father, a blessing." This begging and pleading of a son who up to this point did not understand the consequences of his actions. He's still at this moment not repenting of his sin, but still wants the blessing anyway. And so while this is being said of Esau, Isaac is still reflecting upon what Jacob has done. Notice that Isaac points that it was indeed Jacob who had done this thing. It was Jacob. He now realizes. Yet notice Isaac at this moment is still stumbling over the word of God. He's still stumbling over the very word of God. God said it would be Jacob, not Esau. Isaac still thinks that it belonged to Esau. God said, no, it never did. This passage has been misapplied by many over the years of it being preached. This passage, Isaac was in the wrong. We saw that last week, going against the word of God. God said Jacob. Isaac said, no, Esau. That's not right. Isaac was in the wrong. Isaac was going against the word of God. And so the blessing was never Esau's in the first place. Jacob took only what belonged to him. Most study Bibles have the wrong heading to this. It's not the stolen blessing. God said it was Jacob's. How can he steal it? Yet notice the second characteristic of Esau here in verse 36, the hatred for his brother. Esau played the fool while Jacob obeyed his mother and the word of God. That's called boys, when you obey your mother. It's wisdom. It's wisdom. And so we see here, that's Jacob. Esau didn't obey his mother. He's playing the fool. Esau has despised the things of God by selling his birthright for food and by marrying outside of the faith, disobeying his mother. Isaac should not be contemplating a blessing for this wayward son. What he should be contemplating is, my son needs to repent from sin. Hebrews 12. He must repent. Verse 36 shows us that Esau is blaming Jacob, not his own sin. He's playing the blame game now, just like Adam and Eve did. And yet we see again, for a second time, the focus on Esau is wanting to get the blessing without the faith in God. I want it, but I don't want to have to do, I don't want to have to believe in you. I want everything that you give to me without having to believe in you. So Esau thinks Jacob has taken something that belonged to him. Again, no. No. He was delusional to think that this would ever belong to him. God has spoken. It was Jacob's. And so Esau asks, did you not leave any blessing for me? Did you not leave anything left for me? Jacob get everything. What about me? Verse 37 shows us the reality of this blessing. He's going to be a servant. He's going to deal in an infertile land. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. But notice at the end of that passage, verse 40, but it shall come about. He also blessed Esau. About things that will come. It will come about that you will break the yoke of your brother. And it is very true. Edom, descendants of Esau, will become their own nation, will no longer serve Jacob or Israel. They will for a time, but they will break away. We'll point that out here in just a little bit as to when exactly does that happen. But recognize that Isaac does give Esau a blessing. There's something that will happen that will seem among the nations beneficial. There will be kings in Edom. But there's a divide here. There's a great chasm between these brothers now. There will be reunion, not restoration, not reconciliation. That's church terms. There will be reunion. That's family terms. But first, let's consider 41 through 46. Esau is about to break the yoke now. He's about ready to do it. This will happen. It'll happen in the not too distant future, though. It's not going to happen during their lifetimes. This will be, again, Edom will be one of those chasing instruments of God's anger toward Israel. Think of some of the judges. They had to deal with Edomites. David had to deal with Edomites. But let's consider verse 41. Because this is the beginning of this, the conflict between the two. And you can see the point there. A grudge equals murder. So if you have a grudge towards somebody, if you harbor ill feelings, and you allow somebody to continue to hold a grudge for somebody, you don't hold them accountable to the Christian faith, but you let them hold the grudge, you are an accomplice to murder. That's the application. Let's dig into the passage. Verse 41. Grudge equals murder. So Esau bore a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will murder my brother Jacob." Grudge equals murder. Notice with this verse, the chain, the growth of sin within Esau. Esau has already despised his brother. He's already despised the faith. He's already despised the things of God. But now, because he, from his perspective, is not getting what he wants, not getting what he delusionally deserves, he's got a grudge. And this grudge is leading to murder. Notice what happens. And I'm going to use a term. Because this grudge is based off of really one word. We got the lack of faith here, but there's one word, and that one word is ignorance. And this word is used so much today without properly being defined. Ignorance, or an ignorant person, is seen here with Esau. He's a fool, but ignorant. It is a person who is not informed. A person who is not educated. A little bit more than just illiterate. So that's a little something else. This is a person who can read, who knows how to read, but doesn't. All right? Ignorance. I've heard one minister say an ignorant person is one who ignores the Word of God. That's Esau. Ignoring the word of God. God has spoken, Jacob I love. And now we see Esau hates God. God, by the way, also hates Esau. Feelings are mutual. Different. One's without sin. But notice this grudge here. Notice this grudge. Esau has it because of two fundamental realities. Now, first, Esau does not know the word of God. He's ignoring the word. Notice the word ignore with ignorant. He's ignoring the word of God. And so God has spoken. Esau ignores it. Second, Esau has now turned to hate because he has no faith in God. He's ignoring the word of God. And a person that does that, then you see their true colors with this grudge and murder. He, in fact, despises God, despises his brother who stands in the grace and the love of God. Therefore, what we see is Esau standing here in his anger, in his hate, in his contempt, with his weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's a picture of hell. His is preparing to murder, like Cain, his brother. This is exactly what Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount. We've been there before. Jesus said in that sermon, the root of all murder is hate, is contempt. And we see it here on display. When you hate your neighbor, You're actually murdering them in your heart. And we see it here with Esau. It's begun with a grudge. Esau is guilty of murder before he even holds the sword. And if you help somebody in that grudge, you're just as guilty. Just as guilty. That's why Rebecca doesn't help. She protects. Jacob flees. This is verses 42 through 46. Two things happen in these verses. First, Rebecca shares what she knows with her second son, Jacob. She explains Esau's murderous intent and devises a plan to keep God's chosen, Jacob, safe. She explains that Jacob must flee and seek refuge with his uncle Laban. No mention of a wife yet. Secondly, that's the second part of the plan. She continues to develop this now with Isaac. As she approaches Isaac, she tells him, we need to basically send Jacob off. That's going to come up in 28. So that he can find a wife among family, not from the pagan Hittites like Esau has done. So we see with this dual reason for sending Jacob away. First, to protect him from the sin-centered, hate-induced, hate-filled wrath of Esau. Delusional, yeah. Still sin. And secondly, so that Jacob may marry in the family of faith. Marry in the faith. That's coming up in the next chapter. But we need to close with these realities. First of all, picturing Esau again throughout the whole chapter, not just this section, but we're going to close out the whole chapter, 27. Esau is a child of the flesh. We saw that with the marrying of these pagan women. He is a child of this world. He despises the things of God. He hates his brother. He hates God. And there will be reunion later, but it won't last. It won't last. There will be much sorrow between these two brothers and the nations that follow. Yet, we will not read over this reality. Esau is not chosen. Malachi is clear. Paul is clear. Jacob is the one who was loved. Esau is the one who is hated. It's a picture of election and reprobation. Isaac does by faith bless both of these boys, Hebrews 11. But the blessing that is given to Esau is superficial and will not last. The one that is given to Jacob, that blessing is one that lasts in Jesus Christ, who Jacob is a type of. So that's the second thing we need to see as we look back through Genesis 27 is that Jacob is a child of faith, a child of promise. Jacob is the child of the world to come, the city of God, the one that carries the seed of the woman. Jacob is moved by faith. He's not moved by fear. Throughout most of this, until you get to the accounts we're dealing with Joseph and his brothers, Jacob does things by faith. He wrestles with God. He is named Israel. And it will be through Jacob that the Messiah will come. In fact, Jacob, in our passage, is a beautiful, beautiful type of Christ. Think about just this passage, just chapter 27. First of all, here is a series of at least seven. There's plenty more. At least seven. Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father, follows the faithless son Israel. Could be called there the older, to the point that we see the true Israel coming on the scene. The blessed one of God. The blessed one of the Father. That's the first type. Esau's pushed out of the way. So the chosen son. The blessed one. The second, Notice that Jesus offers to his Father food, his body, and his blood. Heavenly bread, heavenly wine. And with that, we see a beautiful blessing. Second type. Third, through Jesus Christ, all the nations will be blessed. We covered that last week. He says to Jacob, all the nations will be blessed. Those who bless you will be blessed. Those who curse you will be... through Jesus. Fourth, Jesus suffered at the hands of Esau. I said it was coming. Here it is. Jesus suffered at the hands of Esau. Herods, the Herods in the Bible, were Idumeans, Greek for the Hebrew sons of Edom. So Herod the Great broke the chains of Israel, no longer served them, but forced them to serve him for a time, until the great king, the son, rose up and broke Edom. That's the other type. Fifth, Jesus indeed was persecuted by his family and friends. His own didn't receive him, John 1. Sixth, Jesus also left his heavenly home, Philippians 2. He left his heavenly home in order to secure for himself his bride. This is where we're going in chapter 28. Jacob left in order to secure his bride. Jesus left his heavenly home in order to secure his bride. And last, seventh, Jesus will return with more. His second coming is going to be better, greater. He's going to come with hundreds in his wake. And the same will be true of Jacob. Jacob leaves one, and he returns with well over 70. Jesus will do far greater at his second return. Many, many places. Joseph is also another type of Christ, as we will see. But this is the beauty of our passage. We see Jacob doing things here that Christ will end up doing in far greater detail. Every step Jesus took was even a step for the salvation of Jacob here. As his own family rejected and denied him, didn't recognize him, Jesus is saying, Jacob, you are forgiven. Jesus is saying, every step for you, I have forgiven as well. You, your sins, your actions, your thoughts, your contempt, the grudges that you harbor on people, Jesus Christ has forgiven. Beautiful thing of this passage. We've seen it already, is with the providence of God. As God has indeed given us the gospel here, he takes care of his people. And understand this, beloved of the Lord. You called by Christ, like Jacob, he loves you. He loves you. That's who we are. Beloved of God, redeemed of Jesus, saved by Christ. Let us stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the salvation we have in Jesus, for the complete salvation that we have. We pray that you continue to keep us and to work in us. Jesus has taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.